Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Adad. Rhino in Studio X, as always, making sure everything flows as smooth as can be. Speaking of smooth, we are presented by Yuengling Flight, America's newest light beer from America's oldest brewery. Crisp, clean, cold, smooth, only 95 calories and 2.6 grams of carbs. For Mississippi game day, there's no better beer than a Yuengling Flight. Take flight with Yuengling. We are brought to you by the good folks at Dossett Big Four over there in Tupelo. Guys, when you've been in business for 46 years, you're doing something right. And that's the case at Dossett Big Four. If you're in the market right now for a new or pre-owned vehicle, go see my friends at Dossett Big Four. Great salesmen, great award-winning service departments. You can count on them. Dossett Big Four, 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo, or you can visit them online, DossettBig4.com. I have seen a college football game with my own eyes. I was there Saturday in Hattiesburg. Mississippi State goes to 1-0 on the season with a pretty easy win over the Golden Eagles of Southern Mississippi. In case some of you are wondering, and I know some of you are, you've asked us on the C Spire text line, which is open to you right now, 601-879-4395. Old boy didn't show up to pay. So I'm still 100 light. My crisp $100 bill did not make it to me. That's disappointing. I guess it means that if Ole Miss beats Kentucky this week, Michael Borky and I aren't getting our 10 grand apiece. Shocker. That being said, I thought the game for State, I'll be honest with you. I'll start with USM. I thought they were much improved. They look like a good football team. Charles Huff came in there and gave them an immediate lift. You know, playing an SEC team, that's a tough ask, but I think they'll be fine this year. For Mississippi State, it's a two-part question for State right now. It's, are they better, and then are they good? We've answered, are they better? They're a better team than they were last year. They have more depth. They have more options. They look like they were playing with a little bit more confidence. They're a better team. That team last year from Mississippi State, had they gone down and played that Southern Mississippi team, I think might have lost the game. It certainly would not have been out of reach in the fourth quarter the way it was. So the answer to the question, are they better? That's chapter one of the season, right? Chapter two is, are they good? Is this a good football team? Is it good enough to challenge for a bowl game? Is it good enough to play spoiler to some of the college football playoff hopefuls that are on the schedule for Mississippi State? That is the question we all get to answer this Saturday at Davis-Wade Stadium when Arizona State comes to town to take on the Mississippi State Bulldogs. And we've got some hope here on the text line, by the way. First off, this is a text. It's from Sports Talk Mississippi, but I want to read it. I've got the Dogs plus 6.5. Don't think Arizona State can handle the atmosphere, honestly. I'm a rebel. State ain't losing this game. I love the enthusiasm. Bring it. You know, I think Kenny Dillingham has done what no man thought could be done. I think he's brought State and Ole Miss fans together. His comments about the hotel situation in this town have Ole Miss fans riled up and wanting Mississippi State to win. Then we've got this one. Saturday is the day. I would like it on record. State is winning Saturday. We've been on the wrong end of the stick for 3 years. It's got to turn back our way at some point. State fans, for a team that has had two straight losing seasons, that hasn't really had a speck of good news on the football front since November, November 24th, I think, was the Egg Bowl of 2022. That's the last time you had really good news for Mississippi State football. For a fan base that has been beaten down a little bit these past couple years, The enthusiasm is there. The excitement is there. I'm expecting a big crowd. You know, what's big? 60,000? No. 50,000? 55,000? Possibly. I think it's going to happen. You know, if you look on the ticket resale sites, every day there's fewer tickets. People are buying in. People are getting excited. And, you know, now that being said, guys, as you can guess, there's a flip side of that coin. If you build up all this excitement and you don't deliver, and people, it's gonna be tough to get them back in the stadium in a few weeks when you're playing Tennessee. I'm so torn on this game. I've gone back and forth. I'll be honest with you about something. I pre-recorded a show, and I've made a prediction on it. I may make a totally different prediction here, and I may make a totally different prediction on Friday's Thunder and Lightning podcast where we do our prediction. I have no really good feel. Part of me thinks that State at home could get going early, get the crowd into it, and coast from there to a win. Part of me remembers what happened last year in Tempe and how Arizona State absolutely dominated Mississippi State on both lines of scrimmage. I don't remember a game in recent memory where I was as torn on my prediction as I am for this one. It really is a coin flip. I may just bring a quarter to work tomorrow and just throw it up in the air, and whatever comes down, and that's the way I'm going to go. So but it is good to see some Mississippi State fans. I'm afraid to be optimistic. This is from the text line. I'm afraid to be optimistic. I want to feel really good going into the game, but it's hard to feel good about it after what we've been through. I get it. I understand. It makes sense. Last year was tough. It was tough to go through. And I was talking to somebody about this earlier. You know, when you're a State fan from last year, by the time you got to November, it was tough to get excited. It was tough to even want to go to the game. It was tough to want to watch the game because the team was so bad. And that's, you know, when you're a college football fan, and which we all in this state, you know, we all are, that's a tough thing when a college football Saturday happens and you're like, I don't want to watch my team today. That's brutal. That's a tough blow. State was able to generate some excitement by the way they won on Saturday. They had their moments where they struggled. They had their moments where they didn't look as good as they could. But then in that third quarter where they outscore USM 21-0, and you're like, okay. You know, they put the game completely to bed, and you didn't have to worry about it anymore. You didn't have those games last year. You only had it. State only won twice. One was against an FCS school. One was against a bottom feeder FBS school, UMass. Who cares? I think Southern Mississippi is going to be a very improved team, so that's a good win. I don't think State would have won that game a year ago. Oh my God, Hey Dad is like a crazy heartbeat going up and down so fast. Take a breath. I'm just not really sure how I feel about this game. I just don't. I think either that is it a four scenario game? Could State win big? Like, State could win close. Arizona State could win close. Could Arizona State win big? I mean, they didn't technically win big last year. They were up 30-3, but State was able to come back a little bit, and they only lost by 7. I think that gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. If State could have gotten another stop, they were moving the football. But, you know, last year getting another stop with that defense was very tough. Could State win big in this game? Could State come out and just punch them in the mouth and win by 14-plus? I don't know the answer to that. I don't think so. Feels like it's I feel like it's gonna be a close game, one way or the other. I think that it's gonna come down to who makes the fewest mistakes, and both of these teams made a lot of mistakes last week. State with 14 penalties. I think the Arizona State number was around that as well. State with a turnover. They can't afford to do that. Just can't have all those little mistakes. And State lost two touchdowns to penalties last week. 14 points. Could have had 50 points on the board if they had taken care of their business. So, it's going to be who plays the clean game. It is going to be playing the least mistakes. It's going to be, I don't know if it's like a game where who has the ball last kind of game. But I definitely think that there's going to be points in this game. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. If I were a betting man, I would take the over on it for sure. But who's going to win? You make me a decision right now. I got 44 more minutes to make up my mind. We'll see how that goes. I'm telling you right now, you may get a different prediction from me on this game today than I give you on Friday's podcast. I really am back and forth with every single moment of it. And I don't remember, like I said, I don't remember a game like that. You know, last year, once we got past the Arizona, well, the Toledo game. Toledo was probably the last time I picked State to win all year long. I think I picked them against UMass, but what are we doing? This is the most thought I've had to put into a prediction in quite some time. We'll see how it goes. All right, when we come back, you may have heard it earlier on Sports Talk, but for the new audience, we're going to replay my conversation with Brad Denny. He's the host of the Speak of the Devils podcast, elite podcast name, fantastic work. Between Speak of the Devils and Thunder and Lightning, I think we covered the best podcast names for both of our respective beats. We'll play that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Mississippi Blade, if you know what I mean.
Well, I hate to talk over you, Ozzy, but we got to talk about Yuengling Flight. Presenting sponsor here on Thunder and Lightning Live. Rude for those who never settle. If you're enjoying a game day this weekend, if you're tailgating, or if you're just at the house, have a cold, crisp, clean Yuengling. And of course, because it's only 95 calories and 2.6 carbs, you can have an extra rib with that as well. Let's go to my interview with Brad Denny from Speak of the Devils podcast.
One of the fun things is when you're the week two opponent of Mississippi State, you get to be on the show twice in a very short time span with the way we do things here on Thunder and Lightning. Brad Denny joins us again. Speak of the Devils ASU football podcast, where you might hear a familiar voice if you tune in a little later this week. Also with 3TV and CBS5. And Brad, we'll just get right to it. Your thoughts after week one there in Tempe, a game that, you know, when you just look at the score, you think, wow, that's not the most impressive margin of victory over an FCS team. What do I take away from those of us who didn't watch that game in its entirety?
I'm still not sure, because there was so much that was very uncharacteristic about the Sun Devils' performance from what we've seen in the prior 2 years under Kenny Dillingham. First and foremost, the penalties, by far a program high under Dillingham, just not just the amount of penalties, but the timing of the penalties. There was a three-play span where one negated a 75-yard touchdown run by Malik Brown, and then Malik McClain had a 64-yard catch negated on the very next play. And then, as the fans were giving the ref the business a little bit, Sam Levitt got a delay of game penalty because he was trying to calm them down. They were at that point backed up pretty far. Overall, though, like, there were some big plays. Sam Levitt threw two touchdowns. Jordan Tyson, the All-American or preseason All-American wide receiver, had a huge game, 12 catches. That combination is picking up right where it left off. Sam Levitt also had two rushing touchdowns. The ground game was pretty good, probably underutilized. The defense was overall pretty good, especially on third down, holding to two of 15 third down conversions. The third team defense gave up a touchdown in the waning seconds to close that gap a little bit. But overall, it was certainly not the dominating performance that a lot of ASU fans had. There's some nervous folks, ASU fans, historically, I have a little bit of anxiety whenever ASU comes into a season with expectations. So that game didn't help a little bit. So I think on Saturday night, we'll see what perhaps this 2025 version of the Sun Devil team is going to look like.
I was pleasantly surprised here in Hattiesburg, watching Mississippi State's cornerbacks. That's an issue that I thought for State was going to be by far their weakest spot. They played really well down there at USM. But you mentioned Jordan Tyson. This is a guy who is likely a top 10 pick when we get to the NFL draft last year. 12 catches, as you mentioned. This receiving core as a group, what do you think about them outside of Tyson? If State is able to, I don't think you can shut him down, but I think you can maybe limit him in some ways. If they can do that, who has to step up for the Sun Devils?
There's a couple of candidates, but we're still kind of waiting to see, because we thought, you know, this is going to be a much deeper wide receiver room. Malik McLean has a full year in the system. Jaron Hamilton was an Alabama transfer who, since about the second week of spring practice all the way through fall camp, just set the defense on fire. He was a deep threat. He played a snap on Saturday, which is kind of confusing a little bit. Jalen Moss is their slot guy who had over 100 career catches at Fresno State. He was lightly targeted. It was really just Sam locking in so much on Jordan Tyson. And even the deeper tight end group also didn't see a whole lot thrown their way. Now, after the game, Kenny Dillingham said that it was really just basically kind of taking what the NAU defense was giving him. But you know, obviously, you have somebody like Jordan Tyson, you're going to want to get him the ball a lot. But I really would look for Malik McLean. He is a bigger guy, 6'4", 6'5", former Florida State and Penn State transfer as well. If there were not some penalties, his stat line would look a lot better than just 2 catches, 5 yards. He was looking pretty good. And really was curious to see if Jaron Hamilton, who is coming off such a strong camp against a good ASU defense, would be a little bit more involved. So if they are, in fact, going to try to do what they can to take away Jordan Tyson, those two guys would really need to step up.
Interesting matchup there because State has some big corners. Kelly Jones is 6'4". Diego Brumfield is 6'1". So that, you know, we talk about big receivers versus big corners. That could be a very fascinating matchup. When I go back a year ago to this game, the stat that stands out for almost everybody is the rushing yards for Arizona State. 346 yards rushing. Cam Scatabue with 262 yards. Myself, I didn't realize he didn't have a touchdown in that game until right now. I'm looking at the box score. How on earth did that happen? But what stands out to me is the other side. Mississippi State, 27 rushes for 24 yards. Even if you take the sacks out that Blake Shapen did, you're still only talking about maybe a total of 50 yards rushing in this game. Arizona State's defensive line absolutely controlled this game a season ago. Can they do that again?
It's basically the entire same group coming back as well. ASU has so much experience up front, and one of the things that has been a familiar refrain throughout the offseason is Kenny Dillingham praising the defensive line for their commitment to just taking it up a next level. For example, defensive end Clayton Smith added 20 pounds of muscle, but is also quicker. We've seen some of the guys in the interior, especially, that have been critical to this, the success that ASU's had against the run last year and into the early part of this year. CJ Fight was all Big 12 honors a season ago. Jacob Kangaika. I think it's really going to be interesting to see exactly how they're going to be able to, now facing a better and a bigger offensive line, are they going to be able to keep up that level of success and domination in the trenches? I think the question up front is going to be the pass rush, but I think in terms of the run defense, you got that good front line, and ASU uses the two starting linebackers in Jordan Crook and Keyshawn Elliott. They're entering both their second years in this defensive system, and I think they have been playing really well all offseason or throughout the fall camp, and I think that that front six is going to be really key, I think, going forward, and I have confidence that they'll be able to be, maybe not as dominant, but I think, throughout the course of this season, it should be another formidable group.
Who's a player from Saturday night that maybe coming into the game you didn't have much expectation of, that showed you something on Saturday that you were thinking, wow, I didn't know about this guy?
Well, let's say on offense, I would say Relik Brown, only because we hadn't seen it in a game situation. He is a former five-star recruit, so he came with some accolades, transferred over from USC, but has just never been able to stay healthy. But in the bits and pieces, we've been able to see tremendous burst. Nearly took a punt, the first punt return of the game to the house. The turf monster got him there about the 50-yard line. Had a 75-yard would-be catch and run negated by a penalty. But he's a guy that, it was good to see him. Now, he only had like about 3 touches last year before a hamstring injury sidelined him. But to see him actually get out there on the field, under the lights, and do some things was, I think, pretty impressive for me to see. On the defensive side, this is a guy that may be a little bit deeper down the depth chart, but Albert Smith is a young redshirt freshman defensive end. It's kind of hard to get some playing time with such a veteran D-line, but he got in there a little late on the smaller side, but really impressive burst. Was able to get his hands up in a passing lane and tip a ball that was later intercepted. So I think that's a guy that, outside the returning starters, the familiar faces for anybody who watched last year's game, could be a guy that in certain situations could be brought in to bring a little bit of explosiveness to the pass rush.
A year ago, this win kind of launched Arizona State's season. I think coming into it, there was a lot of what are the Sun Devils going to be? They win this game. They win it relatively convincingly, and they're off and running towards the college football playoff. What does a win mean for them this year? And conversely, if they aren't able to get the job done here in Starkville, what does a loss mean for them?
Yeah, I think this game is suddenly even more interesting than it was maybe just a couple days ago, just because of how uninspiring their week one win was. And so a win on the road in SEC country, I think, quiets those doubters and those ASU fans who are always afraid of the expectations. Okay, maybe this team is who we thought they were, and they can get things going in a very winnable Big 12. Flip side, they lose this game, and all of a sudden, like the warning bells are going off. You know, even it's a non-conference game, so in the big picture, it may not hurt them so much. So, they're coming in as probably a top 10 team, they'll still be ranked. All their goals are still in front of them. But I just think, narratively speaking, confidence wise, it'd be a pretty devastating blow for a team that's just that's been hearing the chirps all offseason long. Can they do it without Cam Scadbo? Can they do it without Scott? It's going to be interesting to see how they come out from the mental side of things, knowing that there's a little bit of a pressure and that the home folks are a little restless.
Yeah. This is a game, in a week two schedule of college football, that there's just not a lot of marquee games. This is a game that's very interesting, and I think will have some national attention, especially with Arizona State likely sliding into the top 10 tomorrow when the new AP poll comes out with all the flow of the weekend. Brad Denny, are you coming to Starkville?
I am, yeah, flying all out on Friday. And I was listening to one of your prior podcasts, and that smoked meat place was
check it out. You can't go wrong at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Our listeners will tell you. Appreciate your time, Brad. We'll look forward to seeing you in the press box.
Awesome. Thank you.
Speak of the Devil's podcast. What a great podcast name. I know I said it once before. Hey, our friends at Dotson Big Four want to remind you, when it comes to keeping your vehicle running smoothly, you can count on Dotson Big Four's award-winning service departments. Their certified technicians in both the Honda and General Motors service centers are dedicated to providing the best care for your car. Are you in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle? Come to Tupelo, 628 South Gloucester Street, and find the 46 years of experience that Dotson Big Four has to bring you. We'll talk some more about Mississippi State and Arizona State when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
We've sent the
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. We're presented by Yuengling Flight. And we're brought to you by the good folks over at Dotson Big Four. 46 years of great vehicles and award-winning service. That's Dotson Big Four. You are looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, like my wife was recently. We were a Dotson Big Four customer. Had a great experience there. I promise you'll have the same. Dotson Big Four in Tupelo. If you're looking for a new car, go see Dotson Big Four. I want to talk about this game from a little bit higher perspective, a little thousand yards above, not so much the nuts and bolts of all this. Every coach early in their tenure at a school gets what you could call a legacy game, a game that kind of defines their tenure going forward. Dan Mullen didn't get one until the end of his first season, but it was definitely that first Egg Bowl, right? He goes, he beats Ole Miss, he jumps on the mic, State's off and running under Dan Mullen. Joe Moorhead blew his game. His game was speaking of Mullen, it was the Florida game. Dan Mullen returns to Starkville after taking the Florida job. He had a chance to get revenge, and then they let it go. And after that game, Joe Moorhead never had the support that he had prior to that game. Even at the end of the season when they beat Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl that year, people were still like, I just don't know, and then it all went downhill. It's difficult to say for Leach that he had a legacy game at Mississippi State. His legacy was already secure as one of the greatest coaches in college history. If you wanted to just say for his MSU tenure, It was not even the first game. I can't say that because of the way the rest of that season went, right? You would go to the first full year where everybody's back in the stadium in 2021, and they went to Texas A&M and won that game. That, to me, is the game that sort of sparked Mike Leach going forward at Mississippi State. This is Lebby's. I feel like too many Mississippi State fans have talked about this game from a terms of, well, if they lose, it's not that big a deal, and they can say, I don't agree with that. If you want to talk about Mississippi State as a bowl team this year, winning this game has to be on your bingo card. All right, otherwise, you're talking about winning three SEC games. That's going to be incredibly difficult. I mean, I can get there to talk. If you want to talk about Arkansas, I can get there. If you want to talk about them winning one more game, I can do that. You're winning two more games, man. You got a big upset in there somewhere. So this is a massive game for Mississippi State and for Jeff Lebby. Jeff Lebby, the conversation that surrounds Jeff Lebby, any doubts Mississippi State fans have about Jeff Lebby, you can resolve them, a lot of them, most of them, with a win on Saturday night. What is the conversation about Mississippi State if they win this game? It's, oh, okay, Jeff Lebby, you know, he went to the transfer portal, he reshaped that team, and he's got them looking better in year two. Could Mississippi State be a potential playoff spoiler? Because they host Tennessee and Georgia and Texas. Could they step up and beat one of them? That's the conversation you start to have if State can get this win. If you lose this game, it doesn't mean that Jeff Lebby won't ultimately be successful at Mississippi State. It's just going to take longer. You're going to have to be into next year before you feel you have 100% buy-in on that idea. If Lebby goes 6-6 this year, I think you have to be bought into Jeff Lebby. This is a very difficult schedule. This is not the most talented team in the world. To win six games on it would be very impressive. But six wins almost certainly comes with a win on Saturday. It's just difficult to talk me into the idea of State being a bowl team and winning six games. That just feels impossible. And somebody on text line says it. If you can't beat ASU, you can't win three SEC games. I agree with that 100%. I mean, if you're going to tell me they're going to lose to Arizona State, but they're going to beat Arkansas. Here's the thing. Like the games that you would say like they might have a better chance in, they're all on the road. A&M, Florida, Missouri, Arkansas. Those are all on the road. Who are your home games? Tennessee, Texas, Georgia, and Ole Miss. So you're going to say, that I'll just pick two at random. Arkansas, Missouri, Tennessee. You're going to win those three games, but you can't beat Arizona State. I can't get behind that. So I feel like State fans have been trying to talk themselves out of the idea that this game has just a more meaning than they want it to have. It has a ton of meaning. Jeff Lebby can put everybody on the bandwagon with him with a win on Saturday. Conversely, if he loses, we're still looking around going, are we sure you got the right guy? Are you sure you got the right guy with a loss? And even a close loss, which would be a massive step forward, a game that, you know, you're in the whole way and you just don't make that last play at the end and they get the win, it'd be a step forward. But it's not enough. This is a weekend where, when you look at the schedule, there's not a lot of big-time college football games. Just let's look at the SEC. This is the schedule here in the SEC this week. Alabama is hosting ULM. Arkansas is hosting Arkansas. Or I should say hosting. They're in Little Rock. They have Arkansas State. Auburn hosts Ball State. Florida hosts South Florida. Maybe there's a little interest in that. Georgia hosts Austin Peay. Kentucky Ole Miss is an interesting game. There's a lot going on there. LSU Louisiana Tech. Meh. Missouri Kansas. Interesting game. Two unranked teams. Oklahoma, Michigan, that's your game of the week. All eyes are on Norman. South Carolina, South Carolina State, nobody cares. Tennessee, East Tennessee State, FCS team. Texas, San Jose State, Arch will throw for 404 touchdowns. Texas A&M, Utah State, blah. Vanderbilt at Virginia Tech is interesting, especially with how bad Virginia Tech was last week. State is playing a, you know, if you look at the coaches poll, a top 10 team. In the evening slot there, there's just going to be some eyes on this game. And people are still interested in Arizona State. There's still some, you know, still people talking about them as a potential, you know, team to watch in the Big 12. If State wins this game, you certainly have a little national buzz about Mississippi State. College football commentators, shows, podcasters, they're all going to be saying things like, hey, you saw what happens to Mississippi State. That looks like year two. Jeff Lebby has got some things going in the right direction. Blake Shapen played a tremendous game. We haven't talked a lot about Devon Booth and Fluff Bothwell, but these are two great running backs for Mississippi State. That Mississippi State defense is obviously much improved. Coleman Hutzler did a great job putting them back together. Those are the conversations you can have with a win. The conversations you have with a loss are limited to people like me. People who cover Mississippi State will talk about Mississippi State, but people who don't will not. Just be an afterthought. So there's just a lot on the line for this program. Mississippi State, as an athletic department, has been stacking up some wins lately in terms of what their fans want. We've talked about the uniforms. We've talked about the enhancements to the stadium, a $9 million stadium enhancement project that we're going to get to see in firsthand come Saturday. You know, go back to the summer with the hiring of Brian O'Connor. You know, Zach Selman has been slowly but surely building up this athletic department. But everything gets viewed through the window of football. And right now that window is smudged. It's dirty. You got to clean it up. And a win over Arizona State would be a lot of Windex on this particular window. I think that if State can win this game, I will be interested to hear the national conversation about this Mississippi State football team. Should State win it? If they lose, there's not going to be any national conversation. Yeah, and that's probably the case for the rest of the season. I said a few weeks ago, I'll say it again, and it's a big if. It's a big, big if. But if State gets to 4-0, if they win this game, if they beat Alcorn next week, they beat Northern Illinois, I would predict them to beat Tennessee. I think at that point the ball's starting to roll downhill a little bit. But it starts with here. If you win this game, you're certainly going to beat Alcorn. Northern Illinois, there's still a little bit of the Toledo after hangover hanging around. You beat Northern Illinois, you shake that off completely. At that point, you start looking at this team and going, like, hey, they're done losing those kind of games. And then you play Tennessee at home on September 27th, the biggest college football Saturday of the year, in my opinion. At least one of them. Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Notre Dame, Auburn, Texas A&M, Oregon, Penn State over in the Big 12, Big 10. You've also got Ohio State's at Washington that day. Interesting game. State Tennessee, if State is 5-0 and Tennessee should be 4-3-1 playing that game. They do have Georgia in there. That's a game that's got some panache and some spark to it. But it starts on Saturday. This is a massive, massive game for Mississippi State. If they win this game, people will start talking about them. Not in terms of they can win the SEC, but just in terms of maybe that program's getting back to where it needs to be. We'll find out on Saturday night. Please wear a black shirt. Don't be that guy. Don't be the guy's like, oh, I wear it's a blackout. Just wear a black shirt. You didn't have to say State on it. If you wear a black shirt, you're supporting Mississippi State. Yingling Flight, that's the game. That's the beer for Mississippi game days. 2.6 carbs, 95 calories, brewed for fans who never settle. It's the perfect light beer to have in hand when you're watching football this weekend. Enjoy America's newest light beer from America's oldest brewery, Yingling Flight. Back in just a minute to wrap it up. It's Thunder and Lightning Live.
I'm here with David.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
Thank you.
Let's wrap it up on a Wednesday night. Super Talk Mississippi. It's Thunder and Lightning live with Brian Haydad, Rhino in Studio X. See, my tray is in an upright position. I'm ready for the plane. I'm ready to deplane. I don't think that's actually a word, but they do say it every now and then. As always, we are brought to you by the good folks over at Dotson Big Four, and of course, the show is presented by Yuengling Flight, the cold, crisp beer that is perfect for a Mississippi game day. Why is it perfect for game day? Well, first off, great tasting beer, but more importantly, with just 95 calories and 2.6 carbs, you can hit that tailgate a little harder, in my opinion. So hit it with Flight by Yuengling, brewed for those who never settle. Enjoy responsibly. This week, Chris Lowe with On3 Sports wrote an article about Mississippi State. There feels like there's a lot of back and forth about the numbers within it. Myself, I feel like the numbers are not the important part of it. The message is, and the message is this, that 3 years ago, Mississippi State football was kind of left for dead by the previous administration. And that they were not prepared for the NIL era, and they seemed to have no real interest in taking it on. They were more concerned about the sport of baseball, and they kind of put football and basketball on the back burner in Mississippi State. And so that when Zach Selman came in, he and Charlie Winfield, the director of the Bulldog Initiative, had a massive overhaul they had to implement and get Mississippi State fans on board with what is happening now in the sport of college football. And by putting football first, you could say Mississippi State is a baseball school in terms of what the results are. Mississippi State is likely never going to win a national championship in football. It would take a massive number of coincidences. We'll put it that way. But baseball, it's been done and it can be done again. So if you want to call it a baseball school, that's fine. But that doesn't mean that it's the most important sport. Football always has to be the most important because that's what pays the bills for everything else. And so Selman, you know, they raised, what, $85 million last year? That's the number. Mississippi State's, you know, roster and NIL is now very competitive in the SEC. I don't think they're losing players because of money. If you say, well, that player went somewhere else, I think it's more just because Mississippi State was 2-10 last year. And they have an unknown head coach, an unproven head coach, I should say, and an unproven defensive coordinator. That's tough to sell to recruits. State wins games this year. The point I made was this with NIL. If you look at last year, let's just say for some reason Walter Nolan and Princely Umamielen and maybe a few other guys had wanted to play for Mississippi State in 2024, State would have had the money to pay those guys. That wasn't the issue. They just didn't want to play for Mississippi State because they didn't know who Coleman Hutzler was. They didn't know enough about Jeff Lebby, and they didn't trust it to work. They wanted to play for championship teams. Or I shouldn't say championship teams, but teams that were going to compete for the playoffs. So that's how that goes. But through the hard work of Zach Selman and Charlie Winfield, who I mentioned earlier, and the staff here at Mississippi State, it's turning itself around. Now, you still got to have the results. You still got to have wins. Between the hotel talk this week and the videos going around of the cowbells, there's some buzz around this football game that we haven't seen in the past couple of years at Mississippi State. And all that's well and good, but you got to win the game. Can State win this game Saturday? They can. I can't sell myself that they will. I just can't today. Again, tomorrow when I predict for Mississippi State, on Thunder and Lightning on the podcast, I may change my mind. But today, as we sit here, I just think State loses a close one. I'm going to go 38-31 Arizona State. I think they just get one more score. And I think it's going to be a good game, a back-and-forth game, but I just can't talk myself into it. Maybe I'm just too pessimistic. Maybe I'm wrong. As always, with Thunder and Lightning, whenever I make these predictions, I tend to want to be wrong. But we'll get there when we get there. I think State has a chance to win. They can win. I like Leavitt a little bit better than Chapin. Dillingham's a little bit better than Lebby. The home field is going to be a big thing, though. If State can come out early, it's the same thing as last year. Arizona State pumped this game up to their fans all week. SEC team coming to town. Be there. We need you. They showed up. They got off to a fast start, and the crowd and the energy, they carried it throughout the game. State needs the same thing. They've been pushing their fans all week. Please come. We need you. We need you in the stadium. If they can get off to a fast start, maybe they can ride the wave to a victory. Like I said, when you listen to if you listen to this show tonight, and then you listen to the Thunder and Lightning podcast on Friday, I may have a different score. But right now, I'm saying Arizona State wins 38-31. We'll talk about it some more tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi, and of course on the Thunder and Lightning podcast, available 5 days a week. My interview with Brad Denny, if you missed that, will be available on the podcast feed as well. Guys, I appreciate you tuning in here on a Wednesday night. Go see my friends at Dossett Big Four right now. If you're in the mood, you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, Dossett Big Four, let them put 46 years of experience and award-winning service to work for you. For Rhino and Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.